You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A two-part investigation from the ABC's Background Briefing program has uncovered threats of expulsion against New Zealand's High Commissioner to Fiji last year. Max Smith has more.
In August, bizarre scenes of 77 Chinese nationals being deported from Fiji appeared in China's state media, where they were reported to be online fraudsters. For Australian journalist Hagar Cohen, what started as an investigation into the real story behind this became a great deal more.
This week, Background Briefing is going to take you into the secret world of geopolitical PR machinations.
ABC has revealed allegations that Fiji threatened to expel New Zealand's High Commissioner to Fiji, Mark Ramsden, after its Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama was told Ramsden said he should be behind bars. The investigation has also uncovered an unusual level of influence from PR firm Corvus in Fiji's governmental affairs. Yesterday, I spoke to Hagar Cohen about these revelations and began by asking her how she first came across the story of the Chinese nationals.
This was really bizarre because I came across this story, you know, through the Xinhua News Agency, which is the official Chinese government's press agency. And I'm sure you've seen the same story, you know, together with all those really bizarre photographs of, you know, of Chinese people being hooded, handcuffed and surrounded with, you know, Chinese security officers.
The photos are really striking, yeah.
Weren't they? They were just, you know, it kind of grabbed your attention and you just wanted to know more and more about what on earth actually happened. And the Chinese did say that these people were part of a, you know, sophisticated criminal network to do with internet gambling. And you'd kind of expect that for a story of this magnitude, you'd get, you know, daily follow-ups for the next few weeks or so. But there was a complete silence. I mean, apart from a coverage, you know, almost verbatim of a press release that was issued by the Fijian police commissioner, there was absolutely nothing about it. And so, you know, so we decided, okay, well, we'll check it out. And so that's what we did.
And so this story has kind of turned, I mean, you've uncovered among the findings that this is allegedly sex workers that were deported from the country as opposed to just the kind of internet fraudsters they were purported to be. But this has kind of turned into a story on wider press freedoms in Fiji, right? Because there was no real scrutiny at the time.
Exactly. So when I went to, I mean, you know, because the first thing you do with this kind of story is you try and speak to as many eyewitnesses as you can. And when I arrived to Nandi, to the particular suburb where some of those, you know, alleged Chinese criminals lived, I spoke to eyewitnesses who told me that they were mainly teenage girls who lived in that particular house. And you know, and further to that, we understand that those Chinese girls were brought into Fiji as sex workers, primarily to service the Chinese diaspora who live in, you know, Fiji. The bizarre thing was that that most of the journalists that I spoke to were, although very interested in this story, did not cover the story themselves. And when I asked them why, I was really fascinated because, you know, the first reason was this. We wanted to know why. The first thing you do for a story like this is you try and get some kind of comment from a government department. The government departments involved did not want to respond. And because Fiji has got, you know, quite draconian media decree, which means that, you know, it is the law that you must report with balance. And the way that most news organisations in Fiji interpret this law is that, okay, if you don't have a response from, you know, a government representative, that means that you can't run the story. And, you know, that was the simple reason why they didn't report the story. But more than that, when you kind of start digging a little bit more into issues to do with press freedom in Fiji, that's when I came across the name Corvus, who's they're the PR public relations agency based in Washington DC, who've been engaged by the Fijian government since 2012, to manage the media, and once you start looking more closely into their actual work on the ground, it became quite a fascinating story, and it became the second part of our investigation.
So you didn't even go looking for that story. It just kind of cropped up while you were after these Chinese nationals and the story behind them.
Exactly right. Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and Corvus has a history of propping up regime-like governments across the world, especially in kind of Middle East Africa. I mean, that background, even on its own, is kind of concerning that it's so involved in Fijian politics. I mean, is this the first time we've kind of heard about Corvus's, the degree of its involvement with Fiji?
Not really. So when Corvus was first employed by the Fijian government in 2012, there were a few news reports, particularly in Australia and New Zealand, about who these people are. The main consultant is contracted by Corvus to run their Fijian account. His name is Graham Davis, as is mentioned in the background briefing program. And he's actually, he's got an Australian background. He worked for many years as a television journalist in Australia. The company has got an interesting history. I mean, they were employed by the Saudi Arabia government to repair its reputation after the 9/11 attacks. I mean, the Washington Post at the time reported that the FBI had investigated the company over its, account running the PR for Saudi Arabia. I understand that no charges were ever filed, but that is an interesting case. The other thing that they've done is they were engaged by the Bahrain government during their crackdown of Doctors Without Borders. They've been engaged by, a number of countries and big corporations. So they're quite well known and considered very influential as a public relations agency around the world. And what we've discovered is that their control, I suppose, in Fiji over the not just the media but the public service as well is quite unprecedented. According to the previous permanent secretaries who spoke on the background briefing program.
And another thing that's kind of come to light among these revelations is that Mark Ramsden, New Zealand's High Commissioner to Fiji, was in a bit of hot water last year and even threatened with expulsion from Fiji because he allegedly said the Prime Minister, Frank Bainimarama, should be put behind bars. I mean, I saw this morning RNZ tried to get comment on this from our government and got the same line you did, which is Fiji and New Zealand enjoy a productive relationship or what have you. Do you expect anything else to come out of these revelations on the government's part?
Look, I hope so. That was a very interesting case. As you said, the previous permanent secretary of the Department of Foreign Affairs, Robin Nair, who spoke on our program, he's a very senior person. He's held a number of very senior positions within the Fijian government and actually in the public service here in Australia. He alleges that he was part of a conversation between the New Zealand High Commissioner to Fiji, who's based in Suva, as you say, Mark Marston, and the Fijian Prime Minister, Frank Bainimarama, where Bainimarama had warned Mr. Marston with expulsion over a comment he allegedly made about Frank Bainimarama that he should be behind bar, a claim which, Mark Marston later told Robin Nair that he's never actually made. That's according to Robin Nair again. It's a bit complicated, but...
It is, yeah.
As I said, I tried to get a response from the New Zealand government, the Department of Foreign Affairs in New Zealand, and you know, they didn't confirm nor declined. Graham Davis later emailed me after the story was published, saying that he denies those particular allegations, but they're quite serious allegations, because what they show is that there is a public relations company who has a very direct involvement in quite sensitive diplomatic issues between Fiji and New Zealand and Fiji and Australia. And now, why is this so important? Because, well, first, public relations company are not supposed to run, you know, sensitive foreign affairs issues, but they're also not accountable. So if you've got a public servant who's making those claims and advising the government on sensitive diplomatic issues, there, as public servants, they're accountable, you know, by the process of democracy, as Robin Nair says, whereas a PR consultant isn't. I mean, once they resign, there's no one to take into account.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.